Look at this, what I brought for you guys, dude. I got some serious books going on right here.
I have a question.
Sorry, bro.
Where's our...
We're missing a
guy. That is Con and Spirit.
Con and Spirit.
Con and Spirit.
Wow. Why?
Hey, before we get started, you guys, I just want to say we got an overwhelming number of questions, which is amazing.
Check.
Which is really good, and so I appreciate that. But here's the deal. If you have a burning question and we don't get to it for some reason, just come please find one of us so we can answer that question for you. I want you guys to ask questions, but I hope that you don't wait like a month in advance, like between a month and like to hear the next Q&A. So if you guys have stuff that you need answered but before then, let us know. Here's a couple books I just want to show you guys. These are the things where I get a lot of answers and things. Number one, this is the Bible. Oh, yeah, that's where I get most of the answers. Just kidding. Dude, that was funny. You guys are weak.
We got
dude.
A comedian,
this
guys.
Is Ravi Zacharias, Who Made God? Really great book. And then Unshakable Foundations. Okay, if you want to like read yourself into a like I don't even know, like things in here that I'm pretty sure you need like a master's degree to read or something like that. It's pretty intense if you really want to get hardcore. And to do it all by basic Bible interpretation. Great book. We're going through it right now. So let's get started. You want to pray, Richard, while we get started?
Yes, sir. Father God, we just come before you tonight, Lord, and we just thank you for just another great night here in Velocity, Father God. I just pray that all our questions get answered, Father God, that if we don't get to some questions, Lord Jesus, that you put it on some of these kids' hearts, Lord, to just come up to us and talk to us about it, Father God, and if their questions are not answered, Lord. And we just pray that you speak to us tonight, Father God, and that your Holy Spirit is... It fills us up, Father God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, cool. This first question I have is from last time, and it says, if God says he will avenge people for us, does that mean that in his eyes the death penalty is wrong? Okay, that's a good question. I'm going to take you to Leviticus 24:19. Now, this is Old Testament, so we're going to start here real fast. Here's what Leviticus 24:19 says. It says, if a man causes disfigurement of his neighbor and has done, and he has done, so shall it be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and he has caused disfigurement of a man, so it shall be done to him. So, this is Old Testament though, okay? Here's the deal, you guys. Anything that's in the Old Testament that is written and has not been changed in the New Testament still exists. So has this been changed in the New Testament at all? Yeah, right? Because Jesus said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, no, right? He says, go the extra mile. He says, submit to the other person. Turn the other cheek, right? That's what he says. So that would clearly show that law doesn't matter anymore. Here's the deal. When the Israelites were coming out of Israel or out of Egypt, you know this, they didn't have any laws. And so they didn't know what to do and how to govern anything. So God said, listen, here's a really easy way for you not to do anything. If you kill somebody, you're going to be killed. So for somebody who has no laws, that would be pretty easy to understand. Hey, don't harm anybody or else you will be harmed. So that's very understand. But it's changed in the New Testament. However, just because it's changed in the New Testament doesn't mean that it's that God necessarily doesn't think that it's proper for us to do the death penalty. Because here's where I'm going to take you now. Romans 13. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. That's pretty crazy, right? That means that Barack Obama, everybody is in power only because God, in God's will, wants that to be done. And so he says, submit to the authority, which means that we here submit to the laws of the United States of America, right? So guess what? In many states... In America, the death penalty is still instated, and therefore it is not wrong, it is not sinful, it is completely acceptable because God says, here is these people that I put in charge, and these people that have been put in charge have made laws, and it is your job to do that. Because look what it says in verse 3. It says, for the rulers are not a terror to do good works, but to do evil. Or I'm sorry, hold on. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So God says, hey, it's really important that you obey the laws, even the laws of the president, that you obey police officers, teachers, anybody in your authority, anybody who's got authority over that, you do that. So in the states that it's illegal, cool. Let's keep it illegal. Let's do whatever we got to do. But God has said in his word that those things are, the law has been made that way. So therefore, in New Mexico, I think it's banned. Is it banned here?
The death penalty here? Yeah, I think it's banned.
Is it banned here? You know that, you guys, if you guys remember that sniper case, the guy who would like go, do you guys ever heard about that? That was crazy. There was a guy who would like literally get in the back of his car and shoot people from the back of his car, like from a distance. He was like a sniper. And they just executed him. So God's not going to punish those people who did that because the law is there in place and God has said that. And let's put it this way, he wouldn't have been there if he didn't do that, right? It's not like anybody's been put to death for no reason. It's not like, that in America that they just put that guy to death for no reason. He decided to shoot somebody and many people, and now he's just, the law says that when you do that, you see a jury, and then they get to decide what your fate is, and then that happened to just be that they did the death penalty. So it isn't wrong. So wherever it's legal here, then it's legal, and we should submit to that and you know, not be out there protesting because these people have chosen that path. Anything to add to that?
Amen, brother.
That's it.
I like it. Cool. Well, I'm going to have one quick one, and you don't have to write this down on the screen. My next one you will. But this first one is a quick one. Is it a sin if you kill bugs?
Thank you for that question, whoever that
thank
was.
Thank you, yes, thank you for that question.
But we're going to go a little bit deeper down.
Yeah, we're gonna deep get down in this one. Now, no, it's not a sin to kill bugs. I think if you're getting really malicious and you're getting some sort of bug and then you're trapping it and you're torturing it, then I would say, yes, that's when it turns into a sin. If you're torturing an animal, like, what kind of motive are your thoughts? What are you thinking behind that of wanting to hurt that animal to keep it alive as much as possible? You're wanting to hurt it. Then I think it becomes a sin. But if you're just like, cockers, no. God's not going to be like, yeah, no. Okay, well, that was a quick one. No. So this one, if Satan is so cruel and God is so powerful, why doesn't God just destroy Satan? So first of all, guys, yes, Satan is cruel, and you're saying, why God's so powerful? Why didn't he destroy Satan? I don't know if you guys remember, a lot of you guys, this is a sixth grader. We went through a revelation last year, and it got it explained pretty well, but obviously you weren't here. So there is a time when God is going to destroy Satan. He is going to judge everything that Satan has done, and he is going to destroy him once and for all. At the end of Revelation, if you want to read on that, read the last couple of chapters, the last few chapters of Revelation on that. And basically, Jesus even says it in the Gospels, guys, that we do not know the hour or the day when that's going to happen. The tribulation is going to start. Not even Jesus doesn't even know, he says, but God alone. And in his time, God is going to decide when that is going to take place, when those events are going to happen, when the time will come when he will destroy Satan. It's not that, you know, God is, you know, not powerful enough or that, you know, Satan is, he's just letting him whatever, do whatever he wants. God has a plan, and though we may not understand it fully, it's in his time. And we got to trust God that he's doing what is best for us. And, I really believe that God is getting all he wants, all as many believers as he can get right now to heaven. And that's our job. That's what the Great Commission is, to tell as much believers as we can about Christ and to get them to tell more people about Christ, to get them to tell more people about Christ. That's what God loves, and it's what all of our calling is right now. And that's what I really think it's why God is waiting. He wants to get as much people as he can into heaven, as much people saved. So yes, there will come a time when Satan will be destroyed. He will be thrown into the lake of fire once and for all, and then if you want to read on that, read the end, last few chapters of Revelation.
Yeah, I think you said it great, which is it's the reason why Satan's not done right now is because of God's grace and mercy, because he wants more of you who haven't given your life to Christ to do that so that you can be in heaven. Because guess what? If God did away with Satan right now, then he'd have to do away with us too, because we're evil. Because he's not just doing away with Satan, he's doing away with evil. And if Satan is evil by nature, guess what? We are very evil. We have all done evil things. And so we would all be gone like that too. And it would just be God. because he's getting rid of evil. So he needs to, by his grace and mercy, wait for the appropriate time so that more people can come to repentance, more people can do that, so because that's what God wants. And then eventually he will do all those things. But that's after the rapture, when we are all gone. That's after the tribulation. And then he will finally deal with Satan once and for all, and he will be gone, no longer able to tempt us anymore, which is really cool. So absolutely. Good job, man. Ethan?
All right.
Hey, dude, are you guys excited Ethan's up here for the first time?
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet, right?
For sure. Thanks, guys.
Take it easy, Justin.
Let's see. My first question is, reading about Magic Bad, like if it's about quests, magical people, charms, elves, that kind of stuff. Let me get started on this question. If you guys want to go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 7, verse 8. I'm just going to, while you guys are turning there, I'm just going to talk. No, it's not bad to read these books, kind of like Harry Potter or like Twilight, like just about like all these like mystical fairy tale kind of novels and books, you know. It's not bad to do at all, but I'm gonna go ahead and read out of the Bible and tell you some stories about magic and that kind of stuff. This first part in the Bible, it talks about how Aaron and Moses they fight like the Pharaoh's snake with their staff, and I'm just going to go ahead and read it. It says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same thing by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. So, as you see, like, just that kind of magic is not good. A lot of, like, Satan worshiping and, like, Wiccan magic, you guys, that's not good, according to God. Another verse, I'm just going to go ahead and read it, is, let's see, it's when Samuel, God gets mad at Samuel for,
Saul.
Saul. God gets mad at Saul. I'm not going to read it, but I'll just tell you the story. He gets mad at Saul for being mean to David, you know, and he has, like, no one to talk to. God's not talking to him. So Samuel is dead. Samuel is the guy who kind of helped Saul out, and he tries to summon him from the dead, and God gets really mad about that. So that's just another example of, like, he gets a witch to try and summon Samuel back to life, and it's just not good. God gets more mad at Saul for doing this. So I would say it's all right to read these books, but if you fall into this kind of witchcraft and practicing it, that's not good, and that can damage you and, like, your walk with God, you know? So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, it's dangerous, you know? I would be careful with that stuff, because some of you guys can't separate it. Some of you guys can't read it as a book and then just put it down and be like, God is still God, the Bible is still absolute truth. Some of you are like, whoa, I want to know more about vampires now. Oh, and then you start to realize that it is a door into the cult. You guys, there are people out there who literally are vampires. They call themselves that. They literally drink blood from other people. It seems very weird,
scary, guys.
But it's very real. Yeah. And so it's a very occult thing.
They sacrifice animals and yeah. They just do crazy stuff.
And they do
that, you know?
Really crazy stuff. So if you can't separate that, then don't by any means even get into it, because it's very dangerous stuff to even start thinking about, because guess what? People are like, they think it's magic is so, oh, it's so Hollywood, it's not real. No, it is real. We saw just in the passage that that Ethan read, that the miracles that Ethan did, the miracles that Moses did, the Pharaoh's people could do the same thing, but they weren't using the power of God. They were using the power of Satan. So anything that's done as some sort of magic, weird thing like that is using Satan's power and not God's, and that would be obviously clearly against what God would want in his word. So Good job, buddy. This one says, how can you keep someone accountable without them thinking that you're judging them? Okay, I'm going to take you to 2 Timothy 3:16. This is a really easy one. You guys know John 3:16? Just remember 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, how do you tell somebody, how do you keep somebody accountable by not judging them? Well, don't judge them. What you're going to do is point them to the scriptures. Right here it says that the scripture is good for reproof, which is showing somebody, hey, what you believe is wrong because this is what the scripture says right here. Or correction, hey, dude, you know what? I see the way you're living like that. And I just want to tell you that the Bible says this, not AJ says this, not, hey, dude, you know what? You shouldn't do that because, no, not because you have any authority, but because the Bible does. And so you always lead people to what the Bible says. Also, it says that the Bible is good for instruction on righteousness. Clearly, somebody who's caught up in a bunch of sin is not living a very righteous lifestyle. And so you want to be able to instruct them in righteousness. So the way you can do that is always bringing them back to the word. And then the second way is going to be in Acts 11:23. Take you over there real fast. This is really cool. This is Acts 11:23 says, when he came and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And he encouraged all with the purpose of their heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. That was really cool, right? Okay, so what he's saying here is that you should encourage everybody to continue in the way of the Lord. That's what you consider holding somebody accountable. But then look what it said. It said he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. So the best thing you can do is lead somebody to the scriptures without judging them, right? Show them what the Bible says, not what you say. You're not coming up with this yourself. You're saying this is what God has said in his word. And then the second thing is for you yourself to be full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. That's the best way you can tell anybody something, right? Because the first thing they're going to tell you is, dude, you're a hypocrite. But if you're not a hypocrite, then they won't say that. If you're like, hey, dude, stop cussing. And then meanwhile, you can't stop cussing yourself. They're not going to be very much, they're going to think that you're judging them because you yourself are wrong or you're a hypocrite. So the best thing you can do is lead them to the scriptures and you yourself be right with God. You be full of the Holy Spirit. You be full of faith. You be leading a righteous lifestyle. Cool?
Cool. Awesome, man.
All right, guys, I have two here. They kind of go intertwined with each other. And it's kind of two different sides of the subject I'll touch on. The first one says, my stepmother always finds a way to get me in trouble. She hates my guts. What should I do? And the second one says, me and my mom fight, but we can't solve it. So pretty much coincide with each other. Well, first of all, this one, saying my stepmother always finds a way to get me in trouble. And I don't know what the situation is. I mean, it could be numerous different situations of this, what this is pertaining to, or whoever wrote this. But for me, her being your stepmother, what is one of the commandments that God says about our parents? To obey our parents. To obey our parents, and you will obey your parents and you will live a long life. And this is the first point I will touch on, and I'll touch on the other point right after this. But as far as obeying your parents, guys, if you really think your mom's just or your stepmom's just out to get you, and she hates your guts and she's always trying to find ways to get you in trouble and to hurt you, and again, I don't know the situation, but a lot of moms, I don't think that's the case. I know a lot of times when your mom tells you something and you get hurt about it, and I used to be your age too, my mom would tell me something and then I'd be like, what do you mean? You know, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, that's where the fight starts. You know, because you don't like it. You know what I mean? Your mom tells you, hey, you didn't dump the trashes. Can you dump the trashes, please? Well, I dumped them yesterday. Well, can you dump them now, please? You know, and you're like, what I did yesterday, it's whoever's turn, my sibling's turn, you know what I mean? Like that, like things like that. If you're being rebellious to your parents and you're not obeying them and you're not obeying God by you doing that, it says in the commandment that if you obey your parents, you will live a long life. You guys, I'm sure, don't want to die young, you know? And so, you know, God, by you obeying your parents, you're going to be obeying God. You know, and again, I don't know what the situation here is for, but I'm sure your stepmother doesn't hate your guts. You know what I mean? And if you really think that, you know, if you really see her as an enemy, what does God say what does Jesus say in the Gospels? To love your enemy as yourself. You know, if you really, I'm not saying that, you know, she's your enemy, but if you really think that she is just out to get you and she's just out to hurt you, love her. Obey her. Do what God's saying here. And the other point I'm going to touch on is, you know, because a lot of times we think our parents are out to get us. So me and my mom fight, but we can't solve it. another situation is your mom could be in sin and doing a lot of things that are telling you a lot of things that aren't biblical. And she kind of is telling you a little, like, sketchy things. And it's just not biblical at all. And she's not obeying God. It's going to be between her and God. You know, if she's slave driving you, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, how worse can you get, like, with a mom being so horrible? Whatever the situation is, guys, there could be, like, really in-depth, serious situations where if they're being abusive, or if they're being, as far as mentally abusive, not necessarily physically, but if they're, like, words, they're talking down to you, and you know, they're really, like, kind of cussing at you and yelling at you. And I grew up with that a lot, when parents yelling, not necessarily at us. A lot of times it was at us, but as far as just constantly yelling and yelling and yelling, and in turn that came to us as me and my sisters, and we kind of learned that anger. And my sister is kind of really bad with it still. She can't control her anger a lot of times. And I learned a long time ago to not, you know, be like that. To not yell, to put away anger, you know, to be Christ-like. And I put that away a long time ago. I used to be a very angry kid when I was little. And I was still loving, but it's another story. But as far as this, guys, whatever the situation is, if it's a serious situation where your mom is being mentally or even physically abusive, you know, I would talk to one of us individually, come to us and say, hey, dude, look, this is the situation, man. You know, I'm kind of scared, you know, being in here, whatever. Or if it's just a situation where you and mom can't solve it, you know, you're just constantly fighting and you can't seem to come to a conclusion of where you guys are kind of just solving it, come to us again, talk to us. You know, we'll set up a counseling session with AJ or, you know, another pastor here. I blanked with the word here. I'd do a counseling session with him. I'd recommend, I'd recommend AJ, because you guys come here, you guys listen to AJ. He is your youth pastor. I'd recommend you to come and get a counseling session, organize a counseling session with your parents and with AJ. And if it's a situation like that, you know what I mean? But a lot of the times, like I said, as you guys as kids and me being your age before, that we think, you know, our parents are just out to get us. And they're not. You know, a lot of times our parents are getting on us, or they tell us something to do something to teach us, because they love you. It's the same thing that God does with us in the Bible. You know, if we do something bad, there's consequences for it. Not because God's just saying, you know, I don't like you and I hate you and I'm gonna kill you and I'm gonna send you to hell. That's not the case. God, there's consequences for the things we do, that the choices we make, the bad choices we make. And it's just because God says, hey, look, I don't want you to do that. You know, look in the Old Testament, Ethan referred back to Moses, and when he led him out of Egypt, and he went to the mountain for 40 days, and they were like, where's Moses? You know, and they tell his brother to make him a calf, and they're rebelling against and worshiping this golden calf, and there's consequences for that. It's the same thing. Like, but it's not to where God does it because he doesn't like you or he wants to get on you. He does it because he loves you and he wants to teach you. And the same thing with your parents, guys. And if you obey your parents, no matter what if you think they're getting on you or anything, you will be rewarded. God will reward that, and you will be a faithful servant in obeying, and even more so, your heavenly Father, your real Father in heaven.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, 90% of all problems with your guys' parents have to do with obedience. I know how it is. Me and my mom would have, the only time we ever fought was because I did something wrong. Like, if I never did it, if I was like 99% obedient, then I would have had 99% no problems. Like, every time it's because I'm like, I don't want to do homework. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And it's like, there you go. You've just been disobedient.
Rebellious.
And there's things to go. So obviously, if it's something more than that, if it's physical or mental or verbal abuse, then you need to talk to somebody because you don't stand for that. But if it's, you know, your mom's keeps slacking on telling you to, you know, hang up your clothes, it's like, dude, come on, grow up. You know what I mean? Cool. All right, Ethan.
Okay, guys. The next question I got, it says, what if you try to prove to people that Christ is real, but they just deny you? Let me go ahead and just start this off by saying there was another question. I don't have the question in front of me, but it was saying in school, why are they teaching about evolution? Is it real or not? And I'm just going to go ahead and start this question off with that other one. You know, just as Christians, we don't believe in evolution. God says that he created everything, and he obviously did. I'm going to point to some scripture here in a minute, but you know, just tell your friends, just be like, hey, bro, if you look at nature, nothing made in nature is ever straight. Like, a straight line is man-made, you know, like, that's made, that's complicated, like, it's straight, and we're humans, like, we have so many different systems in our body, you know. And I could get into different parts of the body and different systems in the body and talk about it, but it's just too long and complicated. But like I said, it's like complicated. Like, we had to be designed, you know. And you know, just tell your friends that. Be like, well, we need air and we need water and we need oxygen. I mean, yeah, and we need the sun. And you know, like you can get them to believe that, and then just go on and saying, well, here, God talks about that, you know? Like, he talks about making all those things. And if you guys want to turn with me to Job 38, 31, God, you know, he talks about that. It's not just on the first day he made so-and-so. Like, he actually talks about, like, all the stuff he made throughout, not just on earth, but throughout, like, in space, you know? And he goes on to say, a lot of these words I'm going to say are just stars in different parts of space. So not to get confused. But I'm going to go ahead and read verse 31. It says, God's talking to Job right here. Job is pretty mad at God, and he's like, oh, well, God, blah, 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 blah. And God's like, whoa, hey, take it easy. And so he goes ahead and tells Job, he says, can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? Can you loose the cords of Orion? Can you bring forth the constellations in their season, or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of heaven? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? And he goes on to say, like, he's like, if you can answer these questions, answer them. And Job's like, whoa. He's like, no, I'm a human. No, I can't answer those. And he's like, well, where were you when I made heaven and I made earth? Where were you? Who are you to question God? And, you know, just when people deny God, like, you should just be like, no, just go ahead and start talking to them about just about how we're too complex to evolve. And then when they say, well, if we're designed, who designed us? Just be like, well, clearly God says it right here. Like, he made us. Like, he didn't only make us. He made stars, and he made different parts of space, you know? So just when they deny God, like, they can't deny that. And then another part, I'm not going to go ahead and read it, but Jesus, you know, a lot of people think, like, oh, Jesus was this crazy guy who came to earth, and he was very wise. And, like, a lot of the parables and things he says is just so wise that he had to be from God, you know? He is God. And, I mean, if people are denying God, like, that's kind of ridiculous, because I mean, they were going to let Jesus go. They're like, hey, bro, if you say that you're not God, we'll let you go. Like, nothing's going to happen to you. But no, he stuck to what he said, and he went through with what he was saying and what he was claiming, you know? So for somebody to deny kind of what God and what the Bible has to say is kind of crazy, because it clearly states how things were made, you know? So just tell your friends about... you can even talk about Genesis or Job, what God says to Job, and, you know, just tell them about Jesus and how, just some of the stuff, like, all his supernatural powers, like, you have to be God to do that, like, a random guy, like, there's different books, different authors saying the same thing, so it's kind of hard for someone to deny God, so just leave them, talk to them about that.
That's cool. You got something to say?
Go ahead, man.
Love everybody, you know. It's not your guys' job to convert anybody. It's God's job to convert people. It's your guys' job to tell them about Jesus. So you go up to somebody and you tell them, hey, man, I just want to let you know Jesus loves you, and you give them some backup for that. You give them some Bible verses, and they are like, all right, cool, dude, see you later. You're like, oh, that didn't work out so well. It's okay. You've done your job. Your job is to put it out there. God will water it. God will make it grow. He's the one. You just plant the seeds, and so that's very important. And like I said, like Ethan said too, it's for you guys, that's all you need to do. But that's why you can arm yourself, though. That's why you can give yourself more of a convincing argument than just, hey, dude, God is real. Jesus loves you. Okay, well, you got anything else? Nope, that was it. That's all I got, man.
That's why you can have
books. That's why you can study these things. That's why you can be armed with knowledge and stuff like that. That's why I showed you guys these verses, and that actually kind of jumps into my next question, which is, how do you prove God exists? Kind of the same thing. For kind of like Ethan was saying, do you guys, if you see intelligence, if you see order, you're obviously going to think that there's someone who arranged that, right? Why would all of a sudden, I mean, evolutionists believe that out of chaos, the world was created, but we don't see a world of chaos. We see a world of order. We see the seasons come at the same time. The sun goes up and down, right? There's never been a day where, like, the sun just decided not to come out, right? Or there's not just been a day where it's the middle of winter and all of a sudden winter just stops. In January, summer starts. It doesn't happen like that. You may have like a hot day every now and then, but never. It's very consistent. The leaves grow and fall off the tree. They change colors. We've been seeing this for thousands of years. And so we see a lot of order. And so where you see order, where you see intelligence, you must claim that there's an intelligent designer, right? We see Earth in its proper position, in its proper rotation. If the gases were any different, we'd blow up, right? If the nitrogen was just a little bit more in the atmosphere, we'd blow up. And if anything was different, if we were too close to the sun, just a 5% closer to the sun, we'd burn up. 5% to the other way, we'd freeze. So obviously we see intelligence here. This couldn't have been thrown together, right? Rabbi Zacharias, who wrote this book, once said something that like was so epic. He said, you wouldn't expect... do you know what a printing press is, you guys? Like a printing press is where they just print off of like books, newspapers, random material, right? It's just a place where they print off media, like newspapers, magazines, all this stuff. And he said, for the Big Bang to create a world as ordered as this would be like if a printing press, a bomb went off, and at the end of the bomb, you went in there, and in there was the perfect dictionary, A through Z, in perfect order. It seems ridiculous, right? That could never happen. Imagine if somebody did that, right? That's like saying that you take... You go take a car and you blow it up and it turns into a better car. It turns into an Escalade, right? You like blow up a, you know what I mean? There's no way that chaos can create order like that, and therefore we see that. So here's some of the things you can arm yourself with, okay? Like number one, of course, the Bible, the inerrancy of the Bible. The Bible's true. There's no mistakes in it. They can be backed up, the prophecies. But here's something you guys can take with you. This is about the human cell, okay? And if somebody believes that this human cell that I'm about to read about came out of chaos, then just like Pastor Skip said once, you have way more faith than I do to believe that this happened. Listen to this. Each cell contains digitally coded. This is just one cell, by the way, okay? One cell that they say is a 1/1000th of an inch. Imagine 1/1000th of an inch, okay? Like, okay, here's an inch. Imagine breaking that into 1,000 parts. Pretty much invisible. Okay, so that... has a coded database that can contain 30 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica put together. So that means that inside of it, it's got three it can fit 30 books pretty much the size. It's got 30 books worth of information. And probably like Bible-sized books, like an encyclopedia. You guys know what an encyclopedia looks like. So roughly 30 of those inside the 1/1000th of an inch nucleus of a cell. Okay, it says, accounting for the information stored in a single cell for the intelligent cause is only one aspect of the problem. Just consider the kind of a mind that is needed to design the mechanisms necessary to compress and encode 1,000 volumes of data into that area. Now it can also fit, so they have 30 volumes inside of them. That's just what your cell needs to do its normal duty. It needs all that information, but it can hold 1,000 volumes. Get this, if the information in the brain could be expressed in bits like bytes, like gigabytes, terabytes, you guys know that, were those words, it would be 100 trillion bytes. If it was written out, if all the information that's in your brain, you guys, for the natural processes and the things that it does, if those processes and those codes and those informations could be written out in the English language, the information would be able to fill 20 million volumes or 20 million Encyclopedia Britannicas. And that's just the information that's in your brain that's causing your brain to do everything that it normally does. That's the equivalency of every large, of the world's largest libraries. And it's also equivalent to 20 million books inside of everybody's head. The brain is a very big place in such a small space. The human brain is capable of storing 20 million volumes of genetic information. That's insane. In fact, it's roughly the equivalent of the Library of Congress. So there's so much to learn, you guys. This book is, like, insane. But, I mean, could you imagine that? I mean, think about all that information in something 1/1000th of an inch big. And you think that just came from some sort of sludge that, like, turned into it, somehow popped into a single cell, and then that somehow turned into something else, and it's just not true. And in fact, there's many things that show that even our ancestors, who atheists and people would call primitive or whatever, that they had the exact same number of things going on in their brains. So indeed, they weren't less intelligent than we were. They weren't less developed. They had the same things that we're working with. We just have a lot more technology right now because of the development, but they weren't, you know, stupid. It wasn't like they couldn't speak or they mumbled and did things like that. So just some amazing information in these books, you guys. And if you told somebody that, I bet they'd change their story, right? If you were like, hey, dude, well, why do you think God exists? Well, because, well, get this. I mean, in your brain, okay, there's a cell, right? This is just one cell. In your brain, there's, you know, millions, trillions of cells. So just one of those has enough information. And by the way, it's 1/1000th of an inch, if you can even fathom that. And inside of it, it's got enough information, roughly 100 trillion bytes, like if you want to put it in computer terms like that, or if you want to, you know, think about it a different way. You could fit 100 million encyclopedias in your head. But hey, man, if you just believe that just happened somehow, like, wow, that's pretty brave. Because for someone to design that, to do that, has to be an intelligent person. And then once they decide, yeah, I guess an intelligent person would have to do that, that's where you come in and say, and that intelligent person was Christ, and that was Jesus, and he died for you. And then that's when you bring the gospel into it. So that's a great way to go into it. Anything to add to that?
Absolutely. It just takes more faith to not believe that.
It does, really, these days. Yeah. It's insane.
That's so cool, man. That was awesome. Cool. So this question, guys, I want to tie these two together. The first question is, what is the difference between being a Wiccan and a Satanist? And I'll answer this question first. First of all, guys, Wiccan, basically they claim to what they call white magic. And they basically claim to be fighting off evil, that they've been given these powers, these special abilities that they can use to fight the devil and his demons. And that they're doing, in some sense, good. And they're doing a service to God. And that's what they believe. To them, it's not bad magic. It's good magic. And being a Satanist, basically, I'm just putting this as a easy as possible, guys. A Satanist basically is a person that goes completely against what this says. There's a Satanist Bible that we've brought in a couple of times here at Velocity, especially through Revelation, to show you guys. And basically their whole thing is to basically have fun, enjoy the pleasures of this world, to do not worry about and treat it. Basically, it's the inverse. If you guys, do you guys know what that means? The opposite of what God says. So if God says to not pay someone evil for evil, they say in the Satanist Bible, what Satanists believe, to repay that person, to take vengeance on that person. If God says to love your neighbor as yourself, God says in the Satanist Bible, it says to hate your neighbor, to not love them at all. So anything that Satanists believe, anything that what this Bible says, what this God-breathed inspiration Bible says, is what they believe is opposite. So those are the difference between those two, guys. And you guys get it? You guys are good? Get the difference between that? Satanists and Wiccas? Satanists are completely against God. Wiccans believe they're doing some sort of service to God by white magic. And this next question, I'll go into more into the Wiccan belief. Guys, as far as what they believe, they're saying this good magic, this white magic. According to God and according to the scriptures, magic is evil. All magic is you can call it good magic, you can call it whatever you want. Magic is evil. That's what demons and the devil feed on. And that's one of the main things that are fueling today is what kids and a lot of even adults think is cool. You know, like tying into the whole Ethan's question about the magic, about all the, you know, the books, about taking it seriously. These people are taking it seriously. These are what Wiccans are doing, you know. They think that they're getting these powers and then they can fight off the evil and they're doing some sort of good, but they're not. God, first of all, doesn't need any of us to do anything for him. God is powerful enough to look after himself. He is big enough to do whatever he wants. And he doesn't need us to endow us with special powers to fight off the devil and fight off the demons, you know what I mean? He has angels for that, you know what I mean? There's a whole realm where they're doing that right now. And that's a whole other question. And there's spiritual battling going on right now. And God doesn't need us to do that for him at all. And that's what these Wiccans are. So basically, it's wrong. What these Wiccans are doing is wrong. It's not good magic. All magic is bad. I like it. There's a story in Acts chapter 13, verse 6. And you guys can check that out later. That's Acts chapter 13, verse 6. Basically, there's this sorcerer named Bar-Jesus. He's a false prophet. And it's kind of ironic. His name is Bar-Jesus. But he's a sorcerer doing all these things like the people in Exodus with Moses. The sorcerers did the same thing Moses did. They made a snake out of the rod. These guys were doing the same thing. And they were copying Jesus. And I love what Paul, it says here in verse 9. It says, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at them. So he looked intently at this guy, just kind of looking at him like that. And he says, "O fool of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." You know, and back then this is when God was giving the disciples power to heal the sick and to be doing all that thing. So he says, you know, according to God, he's going to blind you. God is going to blind you right now for doing what you're doing, for desecrating the name of God, for desecrating his word and doing all these miracles. And it's kind of the same thing with these Wiccans. It's kind of scary to think of what's going to going to happen to these guys if, you know, if one of us doesn't get a hold of them and tell them about the truth and tell them what they're doing is wrong, that it's kind of scary to think if they were to die believing what they're believing, what's going to happen to them. It's pretty scary. And there's this other question real quick, guys. I have a friend who was a Christian but is now a Satanist. Will he go to heaven or hell? Well, first of all, if he used to call himself a Christian and now he believes in Satan and goes to Satanist churches and calls himself a Satanist, well, you got to think, was he really a Christian in the first place? If somebody has enough courage to call themselves Christian, they got to back that up. Because that means being Christ-like, being imitators of Christ. And there's another question later on. I don't know if we have time for it. But in Ephesians 5:4, it says, be imitators of Christ. And if you're calling yourself a Christian, you're imitating Christ. And so this person, if now what he believes in is being a Satanist, then, he didn't take it seriously at first. And he, more than likely, I would say probably 100% sure he didn't really make that real life changing decision in his heart, because it says when we ask Jesus in our hearts, we're changed, we're transformed. We're not going to want to do those things. We're not going to want to be a part of this world. And him turning away Christ and going to the world, then you got to say, well, okay, he didn't really mean it in the first place. So right now on the path where he is going to, yes, I would say he is on his way to hell if he continues to do that, and it's scary. But what I would encourage you, whoever wrote that question, is to talk to them. If that's your friend, tell them, hey, look what you believed in. Look at all these things that you used to say that you called yourself a Christian, and now you're completely disregarding that and saying you believe in the devil. That's crazy. You know, it's your job to find out, read in what it says in the scriptures and what God tells you to tell this person about what it says to be a real Christian, to love and to love and to love and to love. That's what it is, guys.
I always laugh at Satanists because they believe like...
Yeah, absolutely.
They believe that like, yeah, Satan left heaven. Yeah, God threw him out. Yeah, he did. Yeah, cool. Yeah, right on. Well, that's cool, man. Well, do you know the end of the Bible says that Satan's going to be thrown in the lake of fire forever? He has no power over God. What? You know what I mean? They like change that part, though. It's like to believe in Satan means that you believe in evil, which means that you then also therefore believe in God, because there's no good without evil. You understand that? Nothing can be evil without good, right? That has to be like that. And so if that's true, then you're proclaiming that God is real. And then so now you're just deliberately denying God, saying that I'd rather hang out with the devil. But then you don't even realize that the devil's going to, you know, the very end of the Bible talks about how, you know, the devil's going to be in eternal torment forever. So how come you believe in all that other stuff, but then you just choose to disregard that part about eternal torment? That's the part you should probably not disregard, because that'll be their future too for it. For anybody who disbelieves in the name of Christ. So we're out of time, you guys. I'm going to pray. We got 10 minutes, though. You can't leave, but you got 10 minutes to bow down.
Do not leave.
Here's what you need to do. I'm going to pray, and then after I'm done praying, ladies first, and then you can have some snacks.
Can I get some leaders to
and if anybody has any questions, you guys, that didn't get answered, please come find us. Please come ask us. We'll get to the other ones. We're plowing through them. And so I hope you guys leave knowing more than when you came in. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much. Lord, thank you so much, God, that your word can stand up to anything. God, I pray that if anybody in this room still has questions, that they would know that that's okay, Lord. But God, your word has been undefeated for thousands of years, God. Everybody has asked the questions. Everybody has said that there's their criticism, and the skeptics, Lord, they've all said what they have said, but the Bible exists because it's your word, it's your truth, and God, it can withstand any question from anybody, Lord, from us as believers to those who don't know God, Lord, and we just want to know the word more that we may be able to give people good answers, God. Your word says, be prepared to give a defense for the faith that you have. And God, that's what your word says. So we need to all be prepared to answer to say why we believe, why it's true. And God, we just pray that everyone would seek answers if they are missing any of those, God. So thank you for your revelation. You are good, God. We love you. Please bless our food. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Ladies first.